Testament reading for this 10th Sunday after Pentecost is from Exodus chapter 16. The whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven on you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when I may prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against them. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, then you grumble against him. What are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 4. "Therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us, according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Oh,
Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place, where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It was never a term I particularly liked. Seeker. It's not that I deny that people sometimes seek certain things or feel a call towards something. I don't like it for two reasons. The first is that I think we normally mix up the subject and the object. When we use the word seeker, we think we are the seeker. I seek meaning, fulfillment, enjoyment, love, God. I don't deny that that can be the felt experience, but that's not the reality. The reality, as the Bible talks about it, is that God seeks us. God is the subject, and we're the object. Amazing Grace says, "I once was lost, but now am found." Not, "I found grace," because I can't do that. I am found. God found me. God's grace found me. The second reason I never liked seeker as a term is that I think it hides what is really going on so often. Augustine's phrase that we are restless until we find our rest in you is the better one. The reality is not that of the spiritual seeker, which can take on a heroic glow to strive, to seek, to find, and not to yield, as the poem would say. The reality is that we are spiritually restless. Paul would say, blown to and fro by every wind of doctrine, jumping from one guru to another, never knowing that it was the Lord who brought us out of Egypt, but always mystifying it, longing for what can't really be true. Slaves who sat by the meat pots and had their fill of bread. When was the last time a slave had that? The manna is given to us. Quails beyond number, such that we can't deny it, but we prefer to be restless, to seek. John 6 is this long watershed chapter. It starts with the feeding of the 5,000. The crowd, John explicitly tells us, sought to make Jesus king. Jesus taught them. He healed all of their sick, and then he fed them until they were all satisfied. But none of that was what the crowds sought. They sought a king. They found a king. But not the king that they were seeking. Because Jesus hurries his disciples onto a boat, and then he himself pulls one of those disappearing acts, like when the crowds had wished to stone him and he just walked right through them. This one wants to make him king, and he just withdraws to the mountain. Our gospel text today picks up in the aftermath. And you have a story of seek. Some of them knew that Jesus hadn't gotten into the boat. They didn't know that he had walked on the water to get to the boat and to the disciples. So they set out thinking that he was still in that desert place. The crowd that had been fed and filled was still there in that place. But not Jesus. So all the crowd that was there, plus those that came back over, they all get into this flotilla seeking Jesus. But the question is, what Jesus were they seeking? Because they find him. And their question, which I take to be a polite one covering their deeper one, they ask, when did you come here? But what they're really asking is, why did you come here? Or why did you leave us? Or will you accept the crown and lead us? And this is exactly what Jesus calls out. Truly, truly, amen, amen. And since Jesus is the definition of a reliable witness, we can take what follows as the reality. He says, you are seeking me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. They've heard the word of God. They've seen the signs. They know the truth. But they don't care about that. What they want is their material concerns satisfied? Again, they're seeking a savior in their own short-term interests, a God who justifies the desires of their gut. We aren't really much different today. We've heard the word of God. We've seen the signs. We know the truth, but we are still seeking this God. We seek a God after our own image who will justify what we want to do. If we are the subject of seeking, it's usually because we've seen this Jesus. We've seen the crucified one, and we don't like that. He asks the wrong things. He's not really relevant. Not relevant in the way bread is. But Jesus confronts them with those base desires and challenges, or you might even say encourages, something more from them. Don't labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Seeking is hard work. Being restless is a constant energy drain. We need constant hits. Maybe we start out with good whole grain bread, but as soon as someone gives us a Twinkie, we'll grab it. Tallahassee in the movie Zombieland is on a quest for the remaining Twinkies. The father in Cormac McCarthy's The Road in his hellscape finds his greatest fulfillment when he finds a can of Coke. High and low culture, when the world has gone to hell, is still seeking junk food. And it's hard work. God will give you the good stuff. The Son of Man offers the bread that doesn't give the temporary hit, but that sustains your pilgrimage through Mordor. And you don't have to seek it. It's given freely. As the Proverbs say, wisdom proclaims herself in the gate. The work of God is carried out before the face of all people, a light to the Gentiles, and the glory of the people of Israel. Christ has given himself, and he continues to give himself to us in word and sacrifice. But those seekers didn't quite get it, or maybe they didn't want to get it. They didn't ask for this bread. They asked, what must we do to be doing the works of God? And Jesus answers them simply, believe. This is the work of God. We to believe in the one he has sent. Have faith that when Jesus says, it's finished, it really is. Your sins have been forgiven on that cross. When he says that our great accuser has been thrown down and defeated, Satan cannot harm us any longer. When he tells us when he's going to return to raise the living and the dead, have faith. Have faith that that day of the Lord is not one of darkness, but is one of our victory. Because this is what God has worked for us. Forgiveness of sins. Defeat of our enemy Satan. Eternal life. And it's given to those who believe. You don't need to seek. Here it is. But their response was, what signs are you going to perform? Moses gave us bread, but they had the bread. They'd seen the signs. They wanted to see. Are you going to give us what we want? Bread? Or do we need to go somewhere else to someone else who will give it to us? How often do we walk away from all that Christ has done disappointed? Are we disappointed because we missed Christ? Or are we disappointed because Christ was not as we desired him to be? Jesus' final answer to them includes a couple parts for our meditation. The first is that no human, not even Moses, gives us our bread. It wasn't Moses, but my Father who gave you the true bread. The Father provides common bread for all people, the just and the unjust alike. You can call it his providence. You can call it common grace. But the things that we often spend our lives attempting to secure, desiring more of, Father knows we need them. He provides. We work so hard for that bread. Yet, if we find ourselves in the middle of a desert, God will send the manna. That manna isn't true bread. True bread from heaven is he who came down from heaven and gives life to the world. True bread is Christ. Word. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. All of our restless work, our worry, our seeking, our desires for things that do not fill, all of that just wears us out. True bread is given to those who come. True bread grants us rest, no longer hunger nor thirst. True bread satisfies not for a day, and then we go seeking more and getting more tired. True bread satisfies for eternal life. And this bread, Christ, is given to those who come in faith. Those who come tired from seeking and willing to be found. And this true bread is where he's promised to be. Wherever two or three are gathered in his name, in this meal. We've all seen the signs. We know. The real question is, are we willing to say, Lord, give us this and have faith that he's already given it to us. Amen.